So let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 30. God's word of life. And verse 19. Chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, verse 19. All right, verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou may dwell in the land where the Lord sware unto your fathers Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to give them. So the key here is, it says, he is our life. And how do we partake of that life and choose life? By obeying him. It says, obey my word, right? Now look at Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 13. Look at verse 10, and then we'll go to 13, so you see the context. Verse 10 of chapter 4 of Proverbs. Hear, O my son, and receive what my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Right? So he's telling you, hear his sayings. Okay. Now look at verse 13. You hear it, then it says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. See, God's word is our life. And we take fast hold. It says cleave to it. Hold on to it. Keep it. Look at verse, and how do you do this? It tells you in verse 20 here. It tells you other places, but here's a good one right here. Verse 20 of chapter 4 of Proverbs says, my son, attend unto my word. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. That's listening to what he says. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Why? For they are what? Life unto those that find them, and health unto all their flesh. And that word health is also translated medicine. Okay? And then it says, goes on to say, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So God says, for they are life unto them that find him. What? His word is life to those that find him, but it's seeking his word in our lives for us, okay? For you and me specifically at this point in time, at this day. Just think about it. So when we hear this, see what God's trying to say to you right here today. Let's look at a familiar verse. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. In verse 20, where it said, we saw Proverbs says, for they are thy life to those that find him. We find it by attending to his word, like it said in chapter 4, 20. It says, attend to my words. That's how you find that his word is life unto us. Now look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Remember, Saul before said, take fast hold of instruction in Proverbs. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, or really equipped for the voyage, if you think about it, equipped for this life. But I want to focus on the first three words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we know that word given by inspiration of God is God breathed. It's translated as God breathed. And God doesn't breathe, right, because he's spirit, so it's a figure of speech. So it marks emphasis. So the emphasis in this verse is not on all, it's not on scripture, it's the source of all scripture. It's coming from the mouth of God, right? You got to think of that. So it's coming. So when we receive it as the Word of God, we're going to see later on. Look at Matthew 4:4. All scriptures God breathed from God's mouth, spoken by God. And it's their life, those words of life. 4:4. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from where? Out of the mouth of God. See, I think there's a message here coming out here, right? You're going to have to start saying glory, hallelujah pretty soon here. But it's out of the mouth of God. See, from God's own mouth. He's trying to communicate to our minds. This is coming from me. And we receive it as such. Look at Hebrews 4:12. Is there any power in the word? Let's see here. I don't know. It could be. Are they vain words? No, we're going to see here. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. All right. It says, for the word of God, that's the word of God, the word that comes out of the mouth of God, right, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You're right there. You got that?
No.
Take your time. You got the thin pages on there. Oh, this way. Hebrews. It's right before Peter there, a little before.
Okay.
Yeah, Philemon. Yeah, 4:12. So look, I'll read that again. No, I didn't know you got didn't get there. Take your time. That's fine.
Fingers don't work like they used to.
Well, you got that. They're thin pages there on that. Say 4:12. Okay, so I'll read it again. For the word of God is quick, alive. That word quick means alive and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's full of power to achieve results, basically. That's what it's telling you here, okay? Alive and powerful, okay? So it's full of power to achieve results, and they're the words that come out of the mouth of God. So we're going to see an example of this, which turn to Genesis 1, because we have to look at it. Chapter 1 of Genesis. So that's an easy one to find for everybody. Even mine. Mine's thin paper here too. My new Bible here. Chapter 1, verse 3. This is the first recorded verse where it said, "With God said something," right? So it sort of sets a precedent, right? When God's first usage of something. So God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, really, I think there was no verb to be there. So it was light be, and light became is another translation. Light, it became. He said it, and it became what he said. Look at, just for flavor here, look at verse 9. And God said, they said again, let the waters under heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Same thing. And then, of course, it goes through. It was so. He said it was so. It was so. So it's setting the, there's a point here. What God says is, right? And it's powerful to achieve results. We see the result. Let there be light. There was light. He didn't say let there be light and it stayed darkness, right? Okay. So we just got to get that. It achieves results, right? So let's look at Psalm 33. That should be in the middle. Oh, mine, I got this big, a lot of pages on this one. Psalm 33 here. And verse 6, it sort of references, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host, how? By the breath of his mouth, right? A lot of references to things come out of the word mouth of God, right? He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He laid up the depth in the storehouse. Let all the earth fear or honor, respect, have reverence the Lord. Let all that happens in the world stand in awe of him. For here is verse 9. For he spake and it was done. He commanded it and it stood fast. Just think, he spake and it was done. So when God speaks, that's it. So we take the word like that. When he speaks to us, that's it. It's not like maybe, possibly, it may come to pass. He may supply my needs. He may not. No. He shall supply your needs, it says, right? Look at Isaiah 55, 11. Very familiar. This will seal it again. Yeah, 55, 11. Take your time. You got your little tabs in there. That's good.
Yeah, some are missing.
That's all right. 55:11. You got it? Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, here we go. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Ain't that something again? Some words that go out of his mouth. It shall not return unto me void. All right, void shall not return to me without effect. Okay? But, in contrast, it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. It shall accomplish and shall prosper. So it doesn't go void. It's quick and powerful. It's alive. It's full of power to achieve results. Now, the Word of God is life, and the Word of God gives life. So let's look at John 6:63. Yeah, John. John 6, chapter 6, verse 63. You got it, Janet, there on the phone? It's not on your phone. Okay. John 6:63. So, is the spirit that quicketh, makes alive, right? The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So, Jesus Christ spoke the words that God gave him, it says, and he spoke the words of life. So, because God's word is life to us and health to our flesh. So, Jesus Christ spoke the same words with the same results when people believe them. Look at John. Well, don't go there. But I'll read it. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life. So it's a form of life that wasn't available at that time. And then John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life. So it defines the life of God that was in Christ Jesus that was made available at that time. And then John 4:16, I think it is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we see that the Word of God gives life, and it comes through Jesus Christ. Look at John 5:24. So go back a page. So I saved you some flipping there, right, just by speaking. 5:24. So it says, yeah, John 5:24, it says, verily, verily, of a truth, I say unto you, he that, what, hears my word and believes on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We have to remember that we've been passed from death unto life. We were dead in trespasses and sins, without God, without hope, right? So we were passed from that when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe God's word, which is alive and powerful and achieves results. And achieved the result from death to life. And we didn't do nothing but believe it. And the word does the work, right? Look at 1 Peter 1:23. So it's Hebrews, James, and then Peter. I have to get there myself here. 1 Peter 1:23. So it says, we were passed from death unto life by the word of God, by believing on the word. And look, it says, it's really similar here in 1:23. See, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, how? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it's still alive today, still abides today, still delivering today, still providing life today. Right? So that's what it's telling us here. Now let's look at, while we're there, go to 2 Timothy 1:9. So Timothy, right before Hebrews, 2 Timothy 1:9. It says, who, God, it's talking about God of the previous verse, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now look at verse 10. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. It's the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ that brings the new life, the new life that we have in Christ Jesus alive, and makes us aware of what we have, what that life looks like, and what we have, and that it's alive and powerful. Look at Romans. Let's go to Romans. Chapter 1 of Romans. And we're going to start in verse 16. See, the gospel brought life and immortality to light, right? And for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ, like it says in verse 2 of Romans there. For it is, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So it's still effective, active, alive, and effective to everyone who believes. It's the believing which activates the power of God in our lives. It's not waiting for God to do it. God's already done it, and he's telling us, right? He says, hold fast to my instruction. So it is the gospel. And it says, for therein, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith, or believing regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and believing the gospel. We live by it. Live means active. We do things. We live by it. We stake our life on it because he is our life, right? It said earlier. Look at Romans 10:9. We'll go there just for continuity here. Well, look at verse 6 to give you the context here. And Romans 10:6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith, or the right way of believing regarding Jesus Christ, speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from heaven, or who shall descend unto the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? What says the righteousness which is of faith? What does it say? The word is in nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. This is the word of faith, the right way of believing which we preach. That if, remember, that if, it's a condition, that if, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, the power of God is released at the time when somebody believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're raised, you're passed from death into life by believing that. But it's if. It's not automatic, right? Yep. It doesn't come automatic. It doesn't come by just automatic. You know, what's God? You know, he's telling us in plain English here, all right? All over the Bible. So we take it as the word of God. Now, We're going to wind down here. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So what's our action here? All right, let's see if we can get any action out of this. What do we do with it? After you receive the Word of God, what do we do with it here? So verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the Word of God, which effectively worketh in you that believe. See, it works in us that believe. We receive it as the Word of God. It's the Word of life, right? In Hebrews, you don't have to turn it, 4:2, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached them did not profit them, not being mixed with believing. See, to them that heard it. They were the people in the wilderness. Remember, they rebelled. They didn't believe God. And God in Hebrews says, hey, don't be, they're examples. Don't be like that. See, we believe what I say. Come in the rest, my rest. When we come in his rest, is rest that we believe what he says in our hearts. It's no fighting. We're not fighting within ourselves. So we experience the new life in Christ as we believe God's word. And in Romans 6:4, it says, you know, we should walk in newness of life. And how we do that? By receiving, attending to his word, applying our ear unto him, listening to him, and walking out and receiving as the word of God. And then Romans 8:6 says, to be spiritually minded is life, life, and peace. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray here. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, word is life to us, Father. You've raised us from death to life. We have it now. We have eternal life right now. We can manifest Holy Spirit. We can walk out in the power of you that you put inside us, Father. And I thank you as we grow in your word and we grow in confidence toward you and what we have, we can walk out with great power from this point on in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.